Welcome, welcome, welcome to the David Ashley Podcast. Thank you. You all have been responding pretty well to these couples' marriage episodes. And I appreciate you. I'm getting good feedback from it. I think this will be episode 63. So I appreciate what's going on with you. I hope that you find yourself being productive. I mean, it's February 25th already. And, you know, we all gonna look up. Wait, it's March already? Yeah, it's March. You know, so march on back over to that to that business plan, that book. You know, that whatever, the eating habit, not a diet, but a change in eating habits. You know what I mean? Just march on back over to it for March and do yourself a favor and close that reaction time between when you stop, fall off of your goal and when you get back up. That's it. We fall down. I just got a chance to do a podcast by a good dude named Aries Myers. Aries Myers podcast, AresMeyers. And go check it out, man. I was, the Aries Meyer podcast, not Myers plural. The AresMeyer podcast, Aries Meyer podcast. And I'm going to have him on. He's got a very interesting story. I'm going to have him on soon. But go check his podcast out. He had me on his podcast, and we met through some writing buddy of mine, Leandre. And good dude, man. So check it out. It's an interesting, we go into a few interesting rants. So I appreciate you, Aries, man. That was fun. Can't wait to have you on. So so the other night, Lady Gaga, her dog walker, her assistant, I guess it was her assistant. A car pulled up on him, or I think it's him, and shot him and grabbed two out of the three dogs, which were French bulldogs, and they and they left and they got away. Apparently these things are expensive, and now Lady Gaga is like, yo, I got $500,000, no questions asked, if you get these dogs back. And I'm like, man, dude is okay. But man, I mean, like, listen, man, people are thirsty out here, man. Things are happening. And a lot of people are like, well, damn, we can't get $500,000 to lead to whoever shot dog walker. That's a cold piece, man. It's a cold piece. Oh, man. Yeah, man. Anyway, we have a great episode for you today. I mean, because listen, I stole a random person's French bulldog trying to get that $500,000 back. That's all. I got the dog in my apartment now. I'm sitting there like, damn, how am I gonna get it back to them without getting in trouble? I'm joking. I got a great episode for you today. Another great couples, another great marriage, another great quote unquote conventional marriage. You know what I mean? Well, unconventional marriage or situation, but it's a beautiful. And the reason I say that is let me clarify that. I say that when, you know, people think that you're supposed to do things in a certain way. And I think, you know, fear kind of holds us back from living, really, because we think people are going to say stuff. And, you know, all of us aren't built the same. Some people let fear and those words kind of drive them out of, you know, or away from what they want to do. So that's why I say unconventional, because people who dare to do things their way and, you know, and who are succeeding, right? So, yeah, I have Chuck and Lisa Hill. They are my family. Just Lisa was my family first. Lisa and I share a birthday. Shout out. We keep saying, Lisa, we gonna celebrate that together. And her husband, Chuck Hill, they have a beautiful family. And can't wait for you to hear their story. So I'm going to stop talking, and the next voices that you will hear will be those of Lisa, Chuck, and myself. All right? Let me know what you think. Welcome, welcome, welcome to, you already know what it is, where you listening to. I have two, another magnanimous, magnificent episode. This is my family. We got, I never called it this, but I know Kiki used to call Lisa May and Chuck Hill the deal. We got the heels. We got the heels. What's in your toolbox? You know, we got the heels with me today. Welcome to the show, y'all. How y'all doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being on again, Lisa. Lisa was, were you on in Parent Week or I couldn't get it together? I think that's what happened.
You couldn't get it together.
I couldn't get it together. Oh, that's right. It was a great, what happened was I didn't want to use the audio that comes from Anchor, and I couldn't record calls, which is a good thing, but except for when you're trying to, you know, have a podcast, whatever. And so, welcome for the first time, sort of both of y'all. So we're gonna get right into it. I know y'all got a lot happening that could pop off at any moment. So yes. First, how is this able to happen? People in bed, people sleep. What's going on right now?
No, everybody live and full.
Everybody live.
Got the ones and twos on one side.
Oh, well, man. We got them downstairs. They got pizza. They have balloons. So they're right now.
Okay. So
they just close from fighting.
They this close. Oh God, a battle royal. That's a battle royal right there. So we're gonna start with the beginning. First of all, how long have you been married?
We've been married over 10 years.
Yeah.
7 years in June.
Nice. And I was there. It was a beautiful day. I still got pictures, great pictures from that day. And how many kids do you all have?
Five
kids. And explain to me. I'm gonna go with both of your explanation how you all met. I'll start with you, Lisa.
Chuck and I met at this little club. It was like a hole in the wall club.
Okay.
And would ask me every week to go with her, go to the Boom Boom Room. And I used to always say, I am not finna go to no club called the Boom Boom Room.
Okay.
So anyway, I was bored one week and she asked me to go and I said, cool, I'll go. I didn't have to work. Didn't meet him that night, but I liked the vibe of the club because it was small. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go back in 2 weeks. And when I went back in 2 weeks, that's when I met Chuck. I was, he had just came through the door and I seen him on the dance floor and I went up over there and I started talking to him and I said, don't leave this club without exchanging numbers with me. So then they got to shooting outside and carrying on.
Oh, God.
So I was like, oh my goodness. And the whole time I'm like, dang, he gonna be gone. And when I went outside, he was still there at the club. And so he came over, we started talking and his ride had left him. So me and my friend, we gave him a ride home and it's just been on and popping since.
On and popping. Okay. That's great. So we left off. Lisa got to shooting in the club. No, just playing. So there was some situation in the club. Chuck and Lisa met. She didn't think he was going to be after. So, Chuck, in your words, how did y'all meet? Like, describe the time, the day that y'all met or whatever.
Yeah, she got it right for the most part. It was at the Boom Boom Room. I had just made my entrance. You know what I mean? I
slow motion.
Wasn't even buzzing yet. Just walked through the door and then mm-hmm. like passed a little section right there and got to the front of the dance floor. She came out of nowhere and I'm like, look at this little short little light skin. You thing. Who's this? And she came up and started talking to me. I'm like, okay.
Ladies, but, this
so yeah, we this exchanged is a little bit. And she said, well, don't leave without exchanging numbers. So I said, all right. And I did end up leaving because at this time I was a hustler. So I had have suckered my ex into taking me to make some runs. So I ended up, by the time I came back, they started shooting. And then it just came out and I said, oh, there she go. So made that connection. And for the record, you know, I was living crazy at that time. So I always just needed a ride home from the Boom Boom Room.
Got it. Okay.
I ain't live too far from it, so I was either walking or, but yeah. So yeah, she on point with that story.
And Lisa, what'd you say, Chuck?
I said she got it right. She sometimes she be exaggerating that story a little bit, but she got
whatever.
She approached me.
And I know, like, so I know you all can't see it, but this is like this is just some couple stuff. I'm not in a couple. But they keep looking at it. They keep checking. I don't mean to make you self-conscious about it. But they keep kind of looking at each other, you know, and I just think that, I don't know. I think that's a sign of a good relationship. Either it's a sign of a good relationship or an abusive one. Right.
One of the two.
So it's like, this is a good one. And ladies, sometimes you got to shoot your shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lisa was just like, oh. Now, Lisa, was that something that you were used to doing if you saw somebody? Or did you feel like this was a special? Or did Chuck's aura just kind of hit you in such a way that he was like, I can't let him go. I got you, Chuck.
No, this was different. I've never approached a man. Never. Mm. It was just something about him. I honestly don't know what it was. Cause like he said, he was rough around the edges.
She was buzzing too.
No, I wasn't. I was not buzzing like that. Come up to him just out the blue.
Lisa was up there,
yeah. A little bit of puppy face.
Puppy face,
but it was something that pulled me in, and I'm glad I did. So
okay, that's beautiful. Lisa, Chuck said something about, he said he was hustling at the time. So what, describe, like, what was your life at the time? Like, what were you doing? Were you working?
I was really getting my life back on track from just switching locations. I had just moved back from Georgia and I was really just trying to get on my feet, take care of me and my daughter, and just really trying to get my mind back right. Mm-hmm. And, I wasn't ready for a relationship, but I was open to dating.
Okay.
At that time.
Okay.
And Chuck, so, you know, I was taking everything slow.
Okay. And Chuck, were you open to dating? I know you said you're a hustler. Were you just, you know, you said you were suckered your ex into coming up there. What were you on at the time? Were you just...
No, like, I didn't suck her to come up there. She was already up there. I suckered her into taking me to make this run.
Got it.
Yeah. Man, she thought I was gonna buy her something to eat, but I didn't. But anyway,
Bop.
Right.
What was the question again? Hungry.
No, I was just saying, like, what were you looking to get in a relationship, or was it like, what was your mindset then?
Mama, at that time, like, I was like, Lord, like, I just want, like, if I'm gonna get back into dating, because I had some rough relationships and some phony relationships that weren't even relationships in my book. I'm like, Lord, just send me the one you want for me so I can settle on down. I'm getting older. I ain't trying to be bouncing around from relationship to relationship.
Okay.
And then not too much longer after that, in the boom boom room. It's funny that I'm saying it's prayer, but then I'm in the boom boom room.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's where that's where y'all found each other.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was and both of you had a child coming into the relationship, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My baby. Oh, Kai. Kai was probably like four or five.
And listen, I had to apologize because I'm asking you all questions that I know the answer to, but you know. I want you to look like, dog, do you know this? Like, why are you playing? But I just, you know. So now you got the number. Both of y'all got the number, Lisa, your approach. How is it like, what is it like? Like, what's the, talk to me about the beginning of the relationship.
We was kind of inseparable, but we still gave each other our space. I mean, I had, just got my little spot, and she had her place in Grand Blanc, and she worked third shift. So we talked often, we seen each other often.
We spoke on the phone every single day. It wasn't a day that went past where I didn't pick up the phone or pick up the phone just to say hi and how was your day. And so that's how it, you know, was in the beginning. So I really enjoyed us not living together. You know, you know how couples try, you know, people try to move right in. I enjoyed that he was his own man, you know, okay. And I was my own woman. You know, I didn't have to worry about none of that.
Okay. And was there a time before? Okay, so how about this? How long did you all date before you got married?
About 7-8 months.
Okay. And at the time, what'd you say, Lisa?
I said I'm not good with time.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really know.
So at the time, were people saying, "Oh, well, that's too quick"? Like, what were they saying at that point?
You know what?
If anything.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Some people wouldn't really bind into it. They wouldn't, you know, they're like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Okay. My mom really didn't like the fact that I was getting married. She knew people that knew Chuck. And she didn't like the word around the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Like that. She was like, oh no, my daughter getting ready to get back and something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And she just didn't really know what I knew about him.
And see, she wasn't getting word on the streets about me directly because, you know, my record was clean on the street. My rep clean. It was just the environment that where I hung around in the hood that I lived in that made her feel the way she felt because she
and the people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh. But she ain't getting no she ain't getting no bad reports on me directly. It was just, you know, my surroundings and where I was hanging out at.
Well, she did get that one report about the drug house. And then she was like, you don't need to be talking to him.
Oh, yeah, she probably, I'm sure she got all she could have got.
She was like, Chuck said, need to be talking to him. And I mean, his family was really excited about the whole thing. And I think that's because, you know, maybe because they, you know, seeing where he come from and seeing his change and things like that. And they was just excited for him.
Okay. And so now, I mean, you mentioned you enjoyed not living together. So you all moved in before or after the wedding?
It was like a week before the wedding, a couple weeks before the wedding, because
it was probably about a month before.
It wasn't a couple months. Okay. It was literally like a couple weeks.
Before the
wedding, because remember you was finna get that house, and I'm like, no, because I ain't finna live up over here. Is that house that Pastor Holly was trying to get you. And I'm like, no, because I don't want to live here. So you're going to have to stay here for a while. And I just wasn't ready. I didn't want to live over there in that area. And I knew that if he would have took up that lease, then we would have moved over there as a family because we was married.
Okay. Okay.
Been married at the time, and I didn't want that to happen. So then that's why we moved in together.
Okay.
That was about a month. I said a month. We could meet in the middle. It'd be at a month. It was about a month.
Well, I'm not good with time, so whatever.
Say and, a month, and this okay? is in Flint, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And the reason I brought that up about living together is because Lisa shared something with me about, you know, just talk to the strategy, you know, what you noticed with, you know, having a daughter and who had never, you know, been in a house with a man like that. And then Chuck, who had never been in with a little girl, and just kind of explain, which I just thought that was a remarkable thing to peep out and then to handle the way that you did.
Well, when Chuck came around, he really proved to Kaya that she could trust him. Mm. And she always wanted a father figure in her life. Mm-hmm. And so I can remember the time that I told her that we were getting married, and I had talked to Chuck before, like, you know, what do she call you? What are you okay with? And he said, she can call me Dad. And so I asked her, I said, hey, you know me, you know, I told her about, you know, us getting married, and she was cool with it. And I said, hey, if you don't want to call him Dad, you don't have to call him Dad. But if you want to call him Dad, you can. And she was super duper excited. She said, I want to call him Dad. Mm. Okay, yeah, you can call him Dad. So I just started noticing that when we did get married and we were all together in this space, you know, I could feel how uncomfortable she was and how uncomfortable he was. Mm. I was like, no, you know, in my mind, I'm like, no, we are a family. You, as the woman, you need to sit down because you know the both of them, you know, and you need to sit down and you need to talk. And so we sat down and I just explained, I said, you know, this is your daughter. And I told Akai, I said, and this is your father. And I said, and we got to get comfortable with one another. I said, you know, I'm not saying you just got to walk around with your panties on right now or, you know, however, but I just wanted her just to know how to be comfortable with a man and how to be comfortable with Chuck being around, you know, how, you know, for him to be comfortable around a little girl.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, it's going to be some of them days where, you know, we see each other, because that's how it is when two parents are in the household. We will see each other sometimes.
Right, right.
And that's just reality. And mm-hmm. and before you know it, they became really comfortable. I mean, of course, again, they weren't just walking around, you know, just fully
right.
comfortable.
And when you say see each other, you mean see each other with less than, you know, fully clothed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because I wanted them to know, you know, that was normal. It was normal mm-hmm. to see a man, and it was normal to see his daughter. You know what I'm saying? Because sooner or later, you will help her bathe. And, you know, sooner or later, Chuck will be getting ready for work, and he's, you know, not being conscious of what's going on around him. And I just wanted them to know that it's normal. It's okay. normal.
Okay. Okay. Who is that? Just came in.
Debo. Debo didn't just bust a dough.
Hey. Okay.
He said, "Y'all get the podcast without me."
And to that point, I mean, and obviously this is years later, but Chuck, when you all came here, was it last? That wasn't even last. Man, that was what? Two? Dang, that was 2 years ago. That's crazy. When you all came. It was 2019, yeah?
18 or 19.
Yeah. Well, 18 is when...
Oh, you mean me and Kaya when we came?
Yeah, when you were Kaya. When you and Kaya and Erica came. Yeah. And there was this... Yeah, there was this moment where we were in my kitchen and we were getting ready to go and you said something to her and her jokingly, like, she walked up on you and, like, chest bumped you and then spun off you, like, and then we all left. And for some reason, I looked at that. I was just like, "That's beautiful." I like, because for some reason, for me, it just felt like, "Yo, she is really comfortable." But of course, by this time, you know, she had been in the house 8 years with you, and you pops. But and I just, that was just a moment, man. Y'all just got a really good relationship, and y'all talk really well. Of course, I don't know how it is when y'all beefing. You know what I mean? But it was a beautiful. Put him on. Let me say hello.
Okay, say hi. Say hello. Say hi.
Hey. Hi, look. Look at. How you doing? Oh, that's great.
And you know what? I wanted to say one more thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted my family back to the, you know, trying to get Chuck and Akaya to really understand that, you know, this was life and this was how a father and a daughter should act. You know, I just really wanted the love to be there too. Yeah. You know, I just really wanted the love to be there. And so I felt it was important to talk to them. And they were both receptive. Like, they understood, even at her level, at her age, she understood where I was coming from when I told her this is now her father. You know, he's not here to hurt you. He's here to love you and guide you and teach you. So I want you to understand that, you know?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Kaya's smart. Like, Kaya, like, I remember at the wedding, Kaya, I took her, and I have a picture to this day with Kaya. I was taking a picture of her, and she was eating. So at this time, what, she's 7 years old? And she didn't want her picture taken while she was eating. And she was like, like, in the picture is her pointing to me, like, don't do that. And I'm like, what kind of presence is that for a 7-year-old to have? And she's always been, seemed like, you know, she was older than she is, like an older soul. So, and in that way, I'm sure that kind of lends to her being a help, helping you all so much, because you all have right now what my mom and them call stair steppers. What
yes.
We got nine. Oh, yeah.
Nine, seven, getting ready to be 5 and 2.
Really? Yo, that is real life.
Like, real life.
That's real. Like, it don't get no realer than that. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. So just explain to me, like, some moments, Chuck, that you had, you know, when you first, you know, when y'all first get married, you first in the situation. Like, what, explain to me some of the difficulties you had with kind of joining that situation.
It was all difficult because I was used to dealing with boys. You know, I had a son, and then like all the women that I had dated, well, there was only a few of them. The ones I was in a relationship with for
there you go, good answer.
They had boys, and my previous relationship, she had two boys that was around the same age as Kaya, so I probably had like 3 years pouring into their life or whatever. So just being around a girl was just all, it was just totally new. So I had to learn everything.
Wow. Really. Okay.
I mean, as far as, you know, how to discipline and how to communicate and all that, just cause it's a little girl. So I'm just super gentle and don't want to discipline her. And
yeah,
like, you know, you can discipline her, you can do this, you can do that. And I'm like, all right, but this is a little different. Cause
this is a little different, yeah.
Now I got a baby girl, you know what I mean? So I got to treat her like a princess. You know, so it was a challenge. It's more challenging now than it was then, but it was definitely a challenge. It's more challenging now just because she's older.
Oh, got it.
You know, new territories. And so I just try to really teach her about men and how, so that when she cross over into that dating atmosphere, she knows what to expect. So I tell her, like, hey, I know all the tricks, and I'm going to teach you all the tricks so you know exactly what to look for.
Give her the game. Give her the game.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, but it was challenging more than anything, though.
Okay.
But it's been beautiful.
Okay. And so the decision to have your first, like, so Chandler. Oh, so describe to me the decision. Okay, you've got Chandler now. and you got two. So the decision to go to three, like what was the, you know, plan. What was the conversation there, huh?
There was no conversation.
Did you?
No. Wasn't no plan. There was no conversation. It was just Ozzy Brothers. Playing sheets. It happened.
Got it. Okay. Got it.
Okay. So we got Chun. We're going to have one more and then we done. You know.
Wait, that was the conversation? One more after Chandler?
No, I'm saying that. I'm just saying it wasn't. It wasn't that.
Oh, it wasn't. Okay.
Although she did always say that she wanted five kids.
Always.
And I was.
But I wasn't about them games. We was going to have them five babies. Well, you know, add all together five.
Yeah, man. And it wasn't until after she got what she wanted that I went and took care of my business to make sure it ain't happening again. So,
hey, okay, that was my next question. So after Debo, y'all was like, nah, nope.
Right.
Okay, okay. Now, what happens in 3 years when Lisa's like, you know what? I think I want another one.
Well, I'm not saying that, okay? this is all that my patience can handle. This is it for me. This is it for me. I have, you know, adapted to my lifestyle.
Okay.
Just us. I am getting back to me.
Oh, God.
You know, really focusing on me as an individual, because I have to be 100% strapped to really continue to care and love and guide my family.
Got it.
And a few years ago, I began to notice that I wasn't where I wanted to be, you know. I wasn't healthy and you know, through my family. You know, my daughter was overweight, you know. They were trying to say she was going to be a diabetic. Mm. And I just didn't like that. And so I had to really change me. And I'm telling you, ever since I changed and started focusing on me, then everything else just started, you know, turning out right. And so I'm happy with that.
Oh, that's good. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, because I would always ask, you know, whether it's you or you know, my sister or for other friends. And I would always ask, like, because I can only imagine what that's like. So it's like, man, how do you have time for you? You know what I mean? Like, do you make time for you in that situation where there's 10 minutes? Or is that a myth? Can you even make time? Is it that you just have to force some time? Or is it like, how do you make time with, you know, four children and a teenager?
Having a teenager actually helps to make time.
Okay.
But, you know, if we didn't have a teenager, It'd be really tough just because we don't have.
Are you talking about time to ourselves or time
together
as a couple?
Well, actually, both. I was starting with the time as, you know, as the mother there with them, and then time, because I would guess that both are important, though, right?
Yeah, you know, me and Chuck, we have an agreement, like. He's really supportive and in me getting me time.
Okay.
He know that this house ain't gonna be right if I don't get me time. And so he's really supportive. When I say I'm getting ready to do something, you know, getting my nails done and my hair done, because that's me time, you know. Maybe running to Starbucks and getting, you know, some tea or something like that. He's always supportive. I don't ever hear him say no, or I don't feel like it, or, you know, he's always supportive.
Okay. And you said, like you were saying, Chuck, having a teenager kind of helps, because sometimes it's like, all right, we need one. We owe you one. We need that, Kaya. We going to go.
Yeah, we go.
Me and mom, we gonna go dip off.
Yeah,
we gonna have a date night. We go, you know, we throw you a couple bucks or whatever to keep an eye on the kids.
Yeah,
we started trying to make it, you know, a weekend thing or whatever. Which now that she older, she got her own, she got a job and stuff. So you know, we don't really offer money no more because she's driving now. So
that's kind God.
Of, you know, she get to go places and do things. So that's, you know, that's kind of, for me anyway, that's your reward for looking out for us and keeping the kids for an hour or two. You say, can I use the car to go to whatever? Well, go ahead. You go know ahead. What I mean? You had to put no gas in it. So that's how she, that's how she earned.
He don't play about that gas.
It make a huge difference. If we didn't have her, you know, we ain't got no family support around here, so it'd be really tough. I mean, my mom's every now and then to sit with the kids when I ask her, but it'd be really tough to get some us time.
Okay. And you know, and we're gonna close you out soon, but just explain to me how this last year has been, man. This last year, you know, how do the kids respond to it? How do you, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, Lisa, but if you could just kind of expound both of you with, you know, how you've gotten the kids to buy into it. How do they feel about it? How do you all feel? How have you maintained to your relationship during that? How much more difficult has me time got when we can't go anywhere? Like, how have you adjusted to this past year and this pandemic?
I think that we adapted well. I think that the kids adapted well because they got loving parents and they got a safe house and they trust us.
Okay.
So us, you know, helping them understand what was going on and by us looking like everything was going to be okay. You know, they were fine. They were excited to be home, honestly.
Okay.
Love the idea of not having to go to school. They really did. Even Kaya even needed a break from school. And I get it. We didn't have, you know, this didn't happen to us when we was growing up.
Man, what?
But they really enjoyed that break. You know, that break that they was given, they enjoyed it. They took it in. We got closer as a family.
Oh, that's great.
I really, really realized how much that Chuck and I really loved each other and how we were really meant to be together. I do know that we did have to do some counseling. We did some virtual marriage counseling with us.
Nice.
Because it was needed. You know, it was needed. We needed to get some understanding and some clarification on some things. And it really worked out. It really worked out for us.
Mm-hmm. It was, and for us, it was cool. It was straight as far as stuff being closed down, us really not having to go anywhere. Cause you know, me and the kids, especially when the weather's nice, we outside anyway, active, right, throwing the ball around, you know, and doing stuff like that. So they were able to still get a feel of, you know, what the outdoors is like. You know what I mean?
Okay. So able to,
you know, go to the gyms and stuff like that. And Chandler, he ended up still, you know, playing football or whatever. They didn't cancel the football season, so he still did that. But she adjusted well to the whole transition of having to be at home with the kids for virtual learning. So she made all of our transition easy and made it better for us because of how well she handled it through her transition. Because she, you know, she got the toughest of the work being here with the kids and, you know, not go to work or whatever. So, you know, she got the superpowers. You know, I'm just normal. So she the battery pack around here to keep everything charged up with the way she adjusted and how she handled it.
Whatever. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay.
Oh, that made me feel good.
Oh, look what you look at y'all. Listen, I'm gonna ask this last thing. Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna ask y'all this last question. You know, if you got a younger couple about to, you know, embark upon a relationship or a marriage, what, you know, two or three pieces of advice would you have for them? Collectively, you don't have to be three apiece, but.
I would say, because for us, because people think because they don't have a whole lot of money that they can't get married. Mm. They wait till it, you know, financially fit or whatever. You know, that's cool if that's what you decide to do, but I would say don't let that stop you. If you if y'all love each other and y'all know y'all want to be together for the rest of y'all life, go ahead and lock it in and get married, and the money go come, because once y'all get married, you know, there is a favor that come on your life, you know what I mean, after you tie that knot. So don't let not having the financial status stop you from doing what your heart telling you to do. That's one advice I would give.
I would say, you know, people come into a relationship very different from one another. And I would say, you know, just kind of be patient and grow together. You know, your partner can change things about you. And so, you know, people be ready to just give up and just throw in the towel so fast when, you know, a marriage you are to grow together. And so that's what I can say, you know, be patient and grow together.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Last one. I'm trying to heckle us. Be willing to sacrifice something for each other. I mean, you gonna have to make some sacrifices, and you know, it ain't always gonna be sweet. It ain't always gonna be, you know, as you plan. But just gotta work with each other and accept them flaws, because there's gonna be some flaws. Them flaws there, accept them flaws, and learn your significant other before y'all tie the knot. Learn them in and out. So that when y'all do get married, you know, you ain't talking divorce talk after, you know, 90 days or whatever, because there's some things that you don't know.
Right.
You know, or some snakes in the closet.
Got it. Okay.
And that's great. That, you know, my biggest thing is if you know that person, if y'all been together for 5 years, what y'all waiting on? Going to make it happen.
Make it happen.
Y'all hindering y'all blessings.
Nice. Great. Okay. And that's it. Yeah, listen, you all got anything you want to shout out? I saw some shirts or something earlier. What's happening?
Yeah. Hey, man.
He said, that's enough. He said, y'all said a half hour, and a half hour.
Right. For real. But look out for Chill Brand gear coming. Chill Brand hoodies, shirts. It's going to be a bunch of empowerment material coming. Right now we got the Virtuous Woman collection that we're pushing right now for the women. Nice. And then next it'll be some things moving for the men. Follow us on Facebook, Chuck Hill. I don't know if Lisa want to be followed on Facebook, but as far as for the Chill Brand merchandise, find me on Facebook. And then look out for the Toolbox Broken Man project coming this spring, where we helping broken men find a path to repair. Man, that's dealing with adversity as far as addiction, or maybe you grew up without a father. Maybe you an abusive man that's really, you don't want to be abusive, but you don't know how to get out of being an abusive man, and just, you know, the whole nine. We're just, you know, going to be helping men overcome brokenness, man, so their life can be better and they can really fulfill some of their dreams. But, you know, you can't do that stuff if that brokenness holding you back.
Got it. Beautiful. Okay. That's great. Okay, cool. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Man, thank y'all for doing this, man. Thank y'all.
Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. Anytime. Yeah, you know, I don't mind being on somebody's show.
Look, man, Lisa, that's my sister. Chuck, it's been a pleasure having you in the family, honestly. You know what I mean? I don't even look at it as Lisa's husband anymore. Like, that's Chuck is my fan.
Right.
That's how I feel. Right. Honestly,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
So yeah, I love it, man. I love my Ashley family, man. Like, yeah, we closer than my family is, man. I love it, man.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I'm trying to push for some bingo. We gotta get that bingo popping, that virtual bingo, you know. Yeah. And hopefully we can get that done. Goodness gracious. So
That's gonna be fun.
Anyway, love y'all. And thank you for doing this, okay?
Love you too,
man. And keep up the good work, man.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate it.
I don't care what it look like. Don't stop.
Yeah, let's get it. Appreciate that,
Chuck. I don't care what it look like.
Don't stop. I hear you.
Don't stop.
I appreciate it, Chuck.
Yeah.
All right. So, look, I hope that you enjoyed that episode. I had fun doing that with them. We got off just in time. The kitties came upstairs right after we finished. So, tune in next week. You know, we'll be doing it again. I think I'm going to keep it going another week. And until I run out of couples, you know, I'm enjoying it. People are enjoying it. I got another idea for another spin on love, an opposite spin from my cuz, from big cuz, Marcy. So I might, you know, try to track down some people for that. So I hope you enjoyed that episode. I want to take a moment to honor a cousin, my cousin, Dr. Bertina Hildreth Combs, passed away on the 21st to the 20th. And no, it's the 19th. I'm sorry. 19th or the 20th. Anyway, Bertina was from a part of my family on my dad's side that I didn't grow up with. They had spent time, you know, my Uncle Eddie, her father, my Aunt Gladys, her mother. They were educators. Uncle Eddie's passed on just recently, last couple of years. And Aunt Gladys is still, she's still with us. And you know, they were engineers dean of engineer schools in, you know, Kentucky and University of Kentucky and what was it, LSU and Southern, something like that. So anyway, Bertina was the first person, I guess, from that part of the family to reach out to me years ago. you know, she fell ill. And I don't know if I mentioned she had shared with me another picture that my dad had drawn of our grandfather. And who I never got a chance to meet because he passed away before I was born. But, and you know, she fell ill and, you know, we created, well, not we, but other family members created, you know, these prayer lines and, you know, just opening the line of communication between their family because they were down there in Texas. You know, at one point they just encouraged us to reach out and encourage her. And I did so, and it's just weird to, you know, we were LOLing in a text message, you know, and it made me feel better that she was responding. You know, unfortunately, things took a turn for the worse. So, and you know, she passed on. So I'm just going to read her profile on, if you will, and, you know, stay if you will. If you're still here, I appreciate you. I'm just going to read her profile, man. Dr. Bertina Hildreth Combs. Dr. Bertina Hildreth Combs, 62, Vice Provost for Faculty Success and Professor of Special Education, who had worked at UNT since 1989, died February 19th in Denton. She had also served as coordinator of special education programs and as associate and intern dean of the College of Education. After earning a bachelor's degree from Oral Roberts University, she worked as an elementary school teacher specializing in learning and intellectual disabilities and emotional and behavior disorders while earning a master's degree from Southern University in Baton Rouge. She earned her PhD from the University of Texas in Austin and served as an assistant professor at Texas Tech University before joining the UNT faculty.
In UNT's Department of Educational Psychology, she focused on preparing professional educators to meet the needs of diverse students receiving special education services, including those with learning disabilities. She was the director for Project TEL, training effective leaders for high-need schools through local partnerships, which received $1.2 million grant from the U.S. Department of Education to help train future leaders of special education programs. Her honors at UNT included being named a Student Association Honors Professor and a Motor Board Top Professor, as well as receiving the first ULYS Ulysses and Vera Knight Faculty Mentor Award and the President's Council Teaching Award. She was also honored for her leadership in supporting inclusion and diversity at UNT and was well known as a guiding light and mentor to her colleagues on campus and beyond. She was active in numerous professional organizations through the years, including the International Council for Learning Disabilities. She was also an active member of Delta Sigma Theta. Students remember her as an understanding mentor who shaped their interests in the field of special education and encouraged them to turn possibilities into plans. She was a deeply religious person who also believed in the power of education to transform lives. The child of college educators, she created the Dr. Eddie and Gladys Hildreth Scholarship at UNT, named for her parents. The scholarship is now endowed because of her dedication and commitment to it. Survivors include her two children, Ashley and Julius, both UNT alumni. To honor Dr. Combs' legacy as an educator, a scholarship has been created in her name. Memorials to the Bertina H. Combs Scholarship Fund may be made through University Advancement, and that's 1155 Union Circle, number 311250 in Denton, Texas, 76203-5017. And for more information about the scholarship, contact Shelley Lane, Senior Director of Development in the College of Education, at shelley.lane@unt.edu. And it just ends off with saying the UNT community will celebrate Dr. Combs' life at 1 p.m. Tuesday, March 9th, in the virtual recognition. The link will be shared closer to the event. And I know it was kind of long, but I just wanted to honor Cuz and tell I appreciate her, reaching out, and that meant a lot to not just discover, but to get to know more and more on my dad's side of the family, as I get older. So, appreciate you, Bertina. Love you. And just going to leave it at that. Y'all have a good week. Talk to y'all next Friday. Thank you.